Our reading for today is a poem by our beloved Mary Oliver entitled, Trying to Be Thoughtful in the First Brights of Dawn. I'm thinking, or trying to think, about all the imponderables for which we have no answers, yet endless interest all the range of our lives. And it's good for the head, no doubt, to undertake such meditation. Mystery, after all, is God's other name, and deserves our consideration surely.
But, excuse me now, please. It's morning, heavenly bright, and my irrepressible heart begs me to hurry on into the next exquisite moment. The sermon today is a bookend to our year-long exploration of some of life's big questions. And Dottie and I have really appreciated the chance to engage in an exploration of these big questions with you this year, and we appreciate your flexibility yet again in trying out something new. And in this case, it was having an overall sermon theme for the year, with that theme being visited at least once a month in sermons and then in the Wellspring Wednesday programs, twice a month here and once in Oshkosh. We feel like it's worked well, and the fellowship will use the same format next year. And even though the barrel of big questions is endless, we'll move on to something different next year, different theme. And I was thinking about Dottie's upcoming departure, about our building plans, about our continued growth into really being a large congregation. And suddenly I, for some reason, had the idea that transitions might be a good thing to talk about. And so the theme for next year will be endings and beginnings. Of course, transitions play a part in our lives individually, not just in the collective life of this fellowship. And I think it's really helpful to examine transitions from a spiritual perspective. There'll be so much to explore, from birth to death to relationships, beginning and ending, to starting a job, ending a job, retiring, the empty nest, which is something I'll be working through next year, to name a few things. Before moving on, though, we thought it would be good today to look back to what we've explored together this year and to share some of our learnings. So we mostly considered the big questions that were the focus of each monthly gathering of our Coming of Age program this year. And the big questions we explored were, are people basically good or are we just out to get each other? How do you know what you believe? What's the authority for your beliefs? Do you believe in God or whatever you might call it? And if so, what's this God like? Do you have a soul? Does it live on after death? How do we build a better world? What's our place in the cosmos? Can spiritual practices help us live a better spiritual life? How? And I have to say, I learned a lot as we explored these big questions, but I don't have the sense that, well, that's done now. Truly, the questions keep evolving, the answers keep evolving. For example, I realized after the beautiful amnesia sermon that I might have missed a little something in my answer to the question of, is there life after death? Now, with Emerson, I believe that the divine is, among other places, within each one of us, and that that divine spark within each of us is actually identical from each of us, to one person to the next. The divine, ultimately, to me, is a oneness, not somehow separated into billions of little pieces. So what happens to this divine presence within when we die? Probably didn't actually take that enough into account. And so for me, the exploration continues.
And yes, I agree that it is safe to say that we feel like this has been a really good year of communal delving into those really important and profound questions. We tackled those kinds of big questions, the sort that come to your mind when you're sitting in silence looking over a huge mountain range, or mesmerized by crashing waves, or gazing up into the dark night sky. As Roger said, it was part of our new adult education programming, and I guess we just figured that since this was all brand new that we'd start off with the easy stuff, like why we exist, or what God is or is not, or what happens after we die. And with each of those questions that we sifted through, it seems that we found, as Roger said, that the interesting outcome was that the exploration goes on. Whether we were diving into the conceptual substance of our souls and our minds, or launching our imaginations out into the cosmos, or pondering those moments when we ourselves will take our last few breaths, what we found over and over again is that the further that we opened ourselves up to those kinds of questions, the more new questions emerge. And some of you actually expressed a little bit of disappointment about that. Maybe you thought that we who were giving the monthly sermons would have come to our own personal conclusions on these mighty subjects, and that the message that we brought would have some final word for you. But I think I can speak for Roger and for Karen and Jim and say that indeed, though we all really enjoyed getting the chance to research these things and dig into them in new and more full ways, that we too were just simply left with the awe of the mystery, more appreciation for all the uncertainties of our existence. But that's really what life is, isn't it? We wish sometimes that it was solid and stable and certain, but in reality we know that our lives are anything but those things. In fact, life is constantly in flux, an ever-moving target, always. Our circumstances are always in motion. Our very being, our physiology, is always changing. And we hope here that our beliefs and our faith claims are also ever evolving. As we humbly attend to the reality of our utterly changeable existence, we see a whole lot more gray in our answer seeking than we ever do find black or white, even though we sometimes long for it. Life is just chock full of mystery. We may be limited by the structural capacity of our brains, but there are also some things that no matter how large our brains ever grow to, no matter how much research is done, it seems that there are some things that will simply never be known in this lifetime. But having walked through this series of big questions with you all and reflected together on all this theological and personal wrangling that we've done, the point that intrigues me that emerges here at the end of this year is that with all those vast uncertainties, that all those things that we talked about, how can all of that uncertainty reside side by side with the word faith? For this is a Unitarian Universalist faith community. I am pleased to call myself a person of faith. But what does it mean to be a faithful person in the context of limitless uncertainties? What do we have faith in? Obviously, it's not a dogma or a creed or any singular text. It seems that despite all of our questions and all the acknowledging that we do that there is no truth with a capital T, what do we have faith in? Well, we can have faith in all of those small t truths that are abundantly surrounding us every single day. We have faith in the value and the efficacy of our seven principles, yes. We also have faith in life itself and in love and in the power of our togetherness. Our faith is not one that provides any clearly delineated path towards spiritual ultimacy, but it is one that points us in the direction of what is life-giving here on earth. I don't know how many of you might remember going to AAA years ago when you were a kid. Before starting out on a vacation, you'd get this fantastic thing that they called a triptych. It was totally cool. You would go to the counter and you would tell them where you wanted to go, and some very knowledgeable agent would pull out a series of map sections and with a bright highlighter tell you with absolute precision the very, very best way to go, page by page. Even if it was 1,000 miles away, they knew. Now, those days are long gone, I imagine, with online technology and with all the GPSs that are around. But not all that long ago, we really relied on our AAA to tell us how to get where we wanted to go. Now, maybe the analogy can be drawn that there are no triptych agents here. We know where we are, At least we try very hard to be mindful and aware of where we are. But we know that there are many, many, many ways to travel and experience the sacredness of this journey that we call life. No one else can say which is the best path for you to follow. We all may be facing in the same direction because our faith certainly does orient us with a vision of justice and peace and freedom for all. But there is no one person who can confidently hold that highlighter and mark the best way for you. We must each find our own optimal path at finding our own meaning and fulfillment in this life and as our role as a member of this community. So our faith is not found in the answers, but in the energy and in the trust in the future that the questions themselves generate. In his book, Faith Without Certainty, which can be found out in our bookstore, Paul Raiser says that this liberal tradition is an invitation, not a mandate. It invites us to live with ambiguity without giving in to facile compromise, to engage in dialogue without trying to control the conversation, to be open to change without accepting change too casually, to take commitment seriously but not blindly, to be engaged in our culture without succumbing to our culture's values. We're called to strength without rigidity, conviction without ideology, openness without laziness. Our faith asks us to pay attention. It's an eyes wide open faith, a faith without certainty. So we live with the questions. We celebrate the unknowns because we know that life is very, very, very complex. A remarkably wise woman, my younger sister, once told me that she thought that our nation's biggest problem is that people try with such vehemence and such persistence to boil very complicated problems down to one word, pro or con, right or wrong answers. At the time, she and I were discussing reproductive rights. That's one example of an extremely complicated human problem that is obviously not one word soluble. There are so many questions that enter our lives each day, just like that. Such as, what do we deeply think about people rejoicing over the death of the leader of Al-Qaeda? Do labor unions perform a just and still needed task in our society? What's fair and right about the treatment of undocumented residents? Now, I wasn't here last week, but I heard that at each service there was a very good post-sermon response about immigration issues and that it included a wide variety of opinions. This is yet another example of a very complex problem in our society. They're just a few of the sorts of questions that poke at our consciences as we read the paper, as we come together in family gatherings, as we join with groups of colleagues as they are in mid-conversation at work. The limitless mysteries of our lives invite us to greet our questions humbly and to hold our opinions with a gentle, open hand, not a tightened fist. That doesn't mean, of course, that we should fail to become educated on complicated matters or that we should avoid reaching our own personal conclusions. Quite the contrary. But part of living this ever-questioning faith of ours means that we are never unaware of how much we don't know. There's always more to learn. So I will close my portion of this message with a very fitting quote from William James, a liberal theologian who died a little over a century ago, and he was a close associate of Emerson's. He said, "We have to live today by what truth we can get today and be ready tomorrow to call it falsehood." That's Unitarian Universalism.
So the questions, they are important. But exploring questions is not the only way to get to that truth, or truths, small t, as always. "Excuse me now, please. It's morning, heavenly bright," Mary Oliver tells us. and my irrepressible heart begs to hurry on into the next exquisite moment. Pondering questions is a good spiritual activity, but sometimes, you just have to turn off the questions for a few moments and soak in the beauty or the urgency of this exquisite moment. Sit with the mountain range for a moment. Sit with the crashing waves or the dark night sky. Sit with the heavenly bright morning just as it begins to dawn. Sit with your hand wound round the hand of your lover. Sit with that baby's tiny body curled up into your own body. Sit even with the body of a loved one who has just died. Sit. Absorb the moment. Be in it. And then, maybe take a moment to praise. Yes, praise. Even when you're sitting next to a loved one who has just died, that person lived. They touched your life, maybe even created your life. There's plenty to praise even in that awful moment, that exquisite moment. So unless you think that you created sunrises and mountain ranges and love all on your own, there's something else. Nature, evolution, God, creator, goddess, who knows? But there's something that's been working overtime. Praise is a perfect response. So is awe. So is gratitude. And then, it's good to take a moment and think about the big questions triggered by whatever exquisite thing is happening at this moment. Exquisite moments, which truly are every moment, if we have eyes to see it, they have a way of shining a flashlight on the big questions.